in a minute. But, you know, something that God's laid on my heart, and I'll tell you what, I just really feel this message deep down inside, because what bothers me as a pastor is when I see people I know and love as Christians just getting the tar beat out of them by the devil. You know what I mean? And everybody's going to get attacked. I mean, nobody's exempt from battles in this world. We all have them. But, you know, one thing that I want us to see as we talk today about the power of joy is how we can really grow through those times, on how important that is. Because, like I say, everybody goes through hard times. You know, it could be a physical challenge. It could be a financial challenge. It could be a friendship challenge in the area of relationships. And, you know, we all need to learn how to deal with adversity, because adversity comes. And, you know, God has given us a way that we can go from the prison to the palace and to learn how to flow with His Spirit to be able to understand how to overcome these things. See, God, and you really need to get this, God does not guarantee that we'll always be happy. But God does guarantee that we can always have joy. And we're going to look at the difference between the two here this week and maybe next week, and how we can understand it, because only when we get tired of losing, I believe, is when we're going to take God at His Word. Because I believe the Word works. See, there's power that's in the Word of God. Amen. And it brings a transformational change in each of our lives. And then as we, it's not just a book we pull out on Sundays, or a book that we just check in on every now and then, or dust off a little bit and maybe give it a kiss. You know, like I said, one time I was doing street evangelism and this person was telling me how much they loved the Bible. I go, "You do? Well, how much you read it?" "Oh, I don't read it. I just take it down and kiss it once a week." And they were serious. That was the way they showed reverence to God's Word. The way we show reverence to God's Word is when we get it in our heart and we start to live it. And I think God has some good things for us. The passage I'm going to look at today is found in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. I'm going to read it first from the New American Standard and then the Message translation. Okay, the New American Standard says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Then it says, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Okay? Now the Message translation, which is a little more American slang, which, you know, we all probably speak a little more. It says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenge come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith is forced into the open, and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." So just think, I want us to think about this. I'm not a masochist by nature, but I want us to see that being in a trial isn't totally a bad thing. Because it says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. You know, because a lot of people abandon ship just before God's going to bring that ship back up where it needs to be. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, we thank You for a special stirring in each of our hearts and minds and lives, Lord, to want more of You. I thank You, Lord, that You have called us out of darkness. Lord, we don't have to live in the dark anymore. I thank You, Lord, that the revelation knowledge of Your light is this exploding inside of us today as the curtain is pulled back, and You're going to reveal to us things that You want us to know. Lord, I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from stealing the Word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as we look at this passage, my first point I want to look at today is the idea that there's various trials. There's all kinds of trials, right? Different things that you and I have a tendency to have to go through. It's because trials are a part of life, And we need to learn how to overcome them. And different people respond to adversity in different ways. And I believe that we respond to adversity sometimes different ways in our life. And it depends what's going on in our life and how things are going. Now, the devil or Satan, he'll use a trial to try to make us fall. He'll use a trial to try to make us get mad at God or turn our back on God. So that we don't want to, you know, follow him anymore, because, you know, a lot of times people have putting out some misinformation. You know, a lot of Christian ministers says that all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you'll never have another problem. That's a lie. Amen. Can you say that louder, Pam? So all the people listening, you hear that. It is a lie, you know. I mean, because things happen in life that we have to deal with. And we have to learn how to cope with these things. So Satan tries to use the things that come in our life, and he'll try to make us turn our back on God. Now, this is kind of hard for people to accept sometimes, but see, God will use a trial to mature us only when we use our faith. Because I remember times in my life, and I don't want to forget to say this, that, you know, my wife and I, we, for the most part, get along pretty good, you know, especially as of late, ever since I got harder hearing and stuff. I mean, no... But, no, in the beginning of the marriage, you know, there's that transitional time where you got two separate entities coming together to make one, you know. And, you know, sometimes you don't see eye to eye. And I remember sometimes, you know, we'd go through a trial and, you know, sometimes. And, you know, I knew that if I just waited maybe 3, 4, 5 days at the worst, it'll be over. It's all good, you know. Then I got to thinking as I started to grow in Christ, well, maybe I shouldn't just take this problem lying down. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, I know that sometimes we do stupid stuff and say stupid stuff, but a lot of times it's the devil, because he knew the call that we had, that God had on our life. So if he can hold us back and bring division in our marriage, he knows that he's going to thwart our ministry and be able to hold us back. So I started to wise up after a while. It's probably a couple, 3 years. I don't know how long it took me till I finally dawned on me, you know, that I need to kind of turn some of these things around. But what would happen when we have that adversity is the fact that, you know, God uses that to bring maturity to our life. Now, remember Jesus? You know, God, after he was filled with the Spirit, you know, God took him out to the wilderness to be tested. To be tested. And see, that's what happens in our life sometimes, is that you and I, you know, are going through tests, and sometimes God leads us to those things, not to hurt us, but so that we can grow. Because we know that God will use everything in our life. It says in Romans 8, he'll use everything to work for the good in our life. So no matter what bad thing has happened in your life, we need to trust that God can take this and use this and start to turn it around in our life, and we can grow, and then God will get the glory. And then we can become in a more mature place. Now, some of the various trials that you and I do, persecution a little bit. I mean, our persecution in our country is not quite exactly what it's like in other nations, you know, where a lot of Christians are having a hard time, especially in Islamic nations and things like this. You know, our persecution is, they may leave us or talk about us, you know, at work because we're a teetotaler, or the fact that, you know, we pray or things like that, or we go to church or give our money to God, you know, things like that. You know, they'll maybe make fun of us, but I think that's, you know, but that can be a trial if you let it get to you. Everybody likes to fit in, you know, but, you know, I was just thinking this the other day, you know, I'm the type of person, you know, it doesn't bother me if everybody doesn't like me. I know, you know, there's a lot of people that are very loving and caring, and it bothers them when not everybody likes them. You know, I'm kind of like Trump, either you love me or hate me, and that's just the way it is, you know. I mean, I can deal with that. I you know, it's been like that for years, so, you know, I'm too old to change now, so I just know, just go with it, you know. It's whatever happens, happens. But persecution comes. And then, you know, tragedy. You know, we can't stop tragedy all the time. And we pray and we believe. And I believe that through God, yeah, we can move mountains and things like that. But I do also know that sometimes some things trickle through. And we do, you know, maybe we're not on guard all the time. So maybe a financial tragedy has come into our life. Or maybe it's a physical tragedy. So all these things come into our life. And, you know, we can get mad at God. God, why'd you let this happen to me? I go to church about every week and I do this and that. And, you know, we can make excuses, get mad at God. But that doesn't help. It doesn't work. You know, what we have to do is just learn that sometimes we're in a battle down here. It's a fight. And we have to fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes we're forced to make a difficult decision, especially if you're a boss or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody and you're forced into a corner and you got to make that decision. It's just stressing you out. You just can't handle it. You know, that's another thing that happens in our life. And then, you know, what happens is that maybe you're in a difficult relationship and you have to deal with that. And that is hard. That is hard when you have to maybe take a hard stand against a family or a loved one or something. So what happens, we need to understand, is that when we're forced into that fire, the trial reveals our character. Or if we're a character, you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we're a character, but it reveals our character. It reveals really what's deep down inside of us, you know, and we have to understand that. Now, not too many people here like tests, right? I mean, you know, like a lot of kids at school, I got a test tomorrow, I got a test, you know, and I hate tests. I just don't test well, you know, and I know that's true. But see, we need to see tests and trials as an opportunity. When we was in Bible school, the Bible instructor didn't call them tests. They called them opportunity sheets. It's an opportunity to show what you know. And it also reveals what you don't know. And that's good. It's good to find out where we're deficient in different parts of our life so that we can maybe work on those areas of what we need to do. So trials, to me, reveal where our faith is. And it's hard. It's hard because maybe we think we're here, and then when the attack comes, we're down here. You know, we're not as exactly where we need to be. You know, my mom always used to say, some people are all blow and no show. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of times we can quote Scripture. See, anybody can quote Scripture, but it's another thing if you have to live it. See, a lot of times we quote the Bible and say, I'm blessed and all these great things are going on. I mean, God's just moving mightily in our life and, you know, we're just excited about Jesus. Well, then something bad happens and boom, just land flat on your back. You know, where'd that come from? See, it's more than talking it. It's learning how to understand it and to get that revelation so that when problems do come, we don't fall and we're not knocked out, you know, flat on our back. So I always say it's not how we act, it's how we react that reveals the depth of our faith. Because things are going to come out of the blue, and it's our first response is very important. You know, to me, it's kind of like the depth of our faith is like if we take a boat out into the creek, and every now and then the creek's a little shallow and the boat bottoms out. And I think a lot of times in life when we go through some problems, you know, if we start bottoming out, then we kind of see some areas where we need to develop. And we're going to get into this a little bit in a minute, but how important our attitude is. What it means to have a good attitude. I mean, some people might seem like they have a better attitude more times than others, but I think we can develop a good attitude. Especially if we have ammunition to understand just how God wants us to respond and to be able to tap in, you know, to the things that He has. You know, I believe there's a power that's in joy, once we're going to look at this and break this down a little bit, that will help us overcome. You know, I think it'd be awesome, you know, if we get to the place in our walk with God where we can just respond in joy to no matter what the devil throws against us. You know, our first response is joy, not happiness. I mean, it's kind of crazy if you're happy that, you know, things are falling apart. No, we're never happy. But joy can be our response, and we learn that. You know, I like to look at the story of Joseph just as a little example. I want you to think about this. I know most of you in how your life's been going. To my knowledge, none of you have been sold into slavery by your family. Anybody? No. So I think Joseph had a little harder time than we did. But we're going to see what happened here. See, Joseph faced many trials. Like I said, his brothers were jealous of him. He was at that time the younger one. There came another one later, but I believe. But anyway, he was the younger one. He was kind of daddy's boy and, you know, his favorite and all that. And his older brothers, they didn't like that one bit, just like today, their sibling rivalry. And what happened is they got so jealous, they ended up throwing him in a pit. You know, a couple of them wanted to kill him, but one of them stuck up for him and they said, well, let's just sell him into slavery instead. You know, instead of killing him, we'll just sell him. So they sold him. So he went down to Egypt. And then he got bought by a guy, a rich guy, and what happened then, Joseph was so organized and such a devout leader, had that leadership calling on his life, that, and he was good looking too, he must have been pretty to the eyes, that the guy who bought him's wife had the hots for him, you know what I'm saying? And she wanted him to lie with her. And he got away from her, but then she told a lie and said that Joseph tried to sleep with her. Well, as anybody would, nobody wants that to happen, you know, so the guy threw him in prison, okay? So here Joseph had went from being pretty well loved in his family to hated by his family to sold into slavery to wrongly accused, never did nothing wrong, and now he's in prison. Well, you can't keep a good man down. Down in prison, he started to be in that administrative gift started to come out, and he started to help the prison guard there, or leader, and he started to be blessed in that and really doing some things and starting to be elevated. And then he interpreted a dream for these guys, and he said, "Don't forget me, you know, whenever you get restored back," and they forgot him. Have you ever felt forgotten? You know, sometimes we get forgotten, don't we? Things in life happens, and we feel forgotten. And so here he was. He did these two guys. One of them was solid. The other one, he got killed. You know, he didn't care for that part of the interpretation of the dream. But anyway, he's forgotten again. Well, then a little later on, it came out. All of a sudden, the one came and told the story about Joseph, how he can interpret dreams. And the story, you know, went that, you know, Pharaoh brought him out. Joseph interpreted the dream. He got raised up to number two in the nation. And then God used him to not only save Egypt, but also to save the same family that threw him in the pit. God did that. But Joseph learned in every trial that he was in to stay faithful to God. See, I want us to encourage us today that, you know, we need to get better and not get bitter, okay? Because you're going to go through problems, and you cannot let those situations, and because things don't go your way, or that God doesn't answer your prayer exactly the way you want, that we get bitter in our life and let that poison us. But we let that trial make us better, make us a better person, so that God can use us. See, in each of those circumstances, he stayed true to God, and that he grew through that, and God got into the place where he would be better or better prepared, and that trials prepared him for promotion. Are you ready for promotion? You know, are you letting the trial help to make you ready for the promotion that God wants to give you in his kingdom? See, God doesn't want us to stay in the same spot. He wants us to continually grow, and get ready, because there's a future that he has for us. See, we can either go through our problems or we can grow through our problems. Either way, you're going to have a problem. That's just a fact. So we can go through it like I did early in our marriage, and I knew that this too shall pass. I mean, I held on to that part of the word, you know. This too shall pass. I knew if I hung in there long enough, my wife would stop being mad at me, hypothetically. You know what I'm saying? And then we could get back to normal and go that way. Or I could choose to grow through that, to grow through that situation, and learn how to use God's word, how to tap into God's spirit, and to be able to use that situation to help to make me mature. See, I don't praise God that we're going through a trial, but I praise God that I'm growing through it, and that's important. See, trials have the potential of producing something good in us every time. So how do we go through it? Next point I want to get to is the idea of consider. The Bible says, now the New King, or the King James says, count it all joy. My translation says, consider it all joy. And that word consider is what I want us to get to in step one of how we can start to win. The word consider is saying to elevate or hold a view or have an opinion towards something. Now, what is our opinion towards a trial right now? Everybody say, I hate them, right? Don't like them. Don't want to go through them. They stress me out. Can't sleep. You know, all that. All those things are emotions that are real, that come up. But see, what happens is we have to have a predetermined response to a trial. You need to decide today, how am I going to respond to adversity? If you wait until you're in adversity to respond, you're going to make an emotional response. And the odds are it will be the wrong one. You'll either get mad, you'll be discouraged, all these things are going to come in. So right now, while you're feeling like you're on a roll, you know what I'm saying? We just need to decide right now, well, when bad things come, I'm going to consider it all joy. I'm going to decide that I'm going to grow through this because I know I'm going to go through it, but I'm going to grow through it. I'm going to get some good out of it because we need to understand what it really means. Now, this word, what I want us to see, and the reason why I'm saying this word also means in the Greek, it means to lead or take control. I see that as meaning that God wants us to lead or take control in our opinion towards trials. And see, like I've always said, a conscious decision is better always than an emotional one. How many have ever said something they wish they could take back, and all it was an emotional response? Something triggered inside of us, and then we blurted something out, and once it's out there, man, boom, you can't take that back. It's hard to deal with some of that stuff. So that's why we need to have a predetermined idea on what we're going to do. See, trials do not make us mature. I just want to clarify this, but it's our response to the trial that makes us mature. Like I keep going back. I mean, my wife and I had a good marriage, and we still do, but I just like to pick out little bitty things to help us. You know, when we went through the trial of when we're not getting along, I didn't grow. As a matter of fact, my faith probably diminished because I was stressed and we weren't happy. And here we are Christians and we can't get along. You know what I'm saying? And here we are graduating from Bible school. We're going into ministry and, you know, we don't agree on everything. You know, things like that. You know, so I didn't grow until I turned it around. Till I changed my attitude that I was going to grow through that. I was going to use the word, and you've heard me say this before. One scripture, I just say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Praise God. I believe that. And if you're not married now, you know, just believe God. You know, that it's good to be married. It's the best life right after Christianity. I wouldn't change it for a bit. But, you know, I started to use the word in my situation, and it took authority over my mind. Instead of seeing what I didn't have, I started to appreciate what I did have. And that makes a difference. It really turns the corner in a lot of these things. So we need to step back. We need to try to see a trial from God's perspective. Because God sees everything. He's been around. He knows everything. And he knows what he wants to do in each of our lives. Now, we have three usual responses to a trial. And see if you've maybe done any of these. You know, the first one is we escape. We run from that trial as fast as we can. We avoid it. We just get out of there. We don't want to be in it. So the first thing we do is we just try to get out of that, whatever it takes, and we're done with it. Next, sometimes we try to explain it. We try to overthink and overanalyze. Have you ever tried to overanalyze a problem? You know, you're just, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's good to maybe think about where it came from, but primarily it's just an attack from the devil. That's just real simple. You just got to learn how to deal with it. And lastly, sometimes we exit. You know, we look for the easy way out instead of trusting God to bring us through. We look for a shortcut and we end up compromising our standards, you know. We could turn to, you know, a lot of people when they try to exit, they'll turn to maybe drugs or alcohol or overeating, all these different things to try to bring comfort so we're not getting the best part of that trial, you know. Because the trial, as I'm going to try to get us to see, I don't want you to seek out trials. No, that's not what I'm saying today. But I want you to know that when you're in one, there's things we can learn in it. See, what we need to realize is that trial is part of the maturity process. And like I say, we don't look for problems, but we don't run from them either. And so I want us to see how we do that. It's through joy. And joy is an attitude that you and I need to develop. Now, next week, we're going to look at probably in the idea of where joy comes from and how we start to roll in it and flow in it a little bit better, but we're not going to make it through all this today. But see, joy needs a better attitude. And I want us to see today that, you know, some don't believe there's a difference. I do. There's a difference between happiness and joy. You know, most of our culture wants to be happy. I think everybody does. And when they're not happy, they feel cheated, and they feel discouraged, and they get mad, and they'll do whatever they can do to make themselves happy. And that's sort of why sometimes people separate and get divorced and things. I'm just not happy anymore. You know, happiness is based on circumstances, and circumstances change, right? And so we need to get to the place where we understand what joy is all about. See, happiness is an emotion, and it can be manipulated by our circumstances. You know, just a kid. I mean, you take a little kid, you know, you can kind of manipulate their emotions a little bit. If they fall down and there's that split second that you go, oh, you okay? They start crying, or you say, you're all right, dust it off. They hop right up and they're good. See, you just manipulated their emotions there a little bit. Because they could have cried, but you just sent them a different message that, hey, you're okay, dust off, you're all right. You know, and it's like that, you know, in our emotions too, but in different ways, in relationships and in our life and what we have to do. So, see, joy is an emotion. It is feel joyful. I mean, Bible says rejoice, right? All these different things. But joy is an emotion. But we're going to get into this, that joy is a spiritual force. And it's a force that we use to be able to win and keep winning and to be able to overcome and to grow and to be more mature in the things of God. You know, the devil doesn't want us to grow. The devil wants us to fail. The devil wants us to think that we can't do it or we can't make it. But see, God wants us to go from glory to glory and to be able to grow. See, happiness depends on what is happening, while joy is not affected by what happened. What happens in our life doesn't affect us. See, happiness will not hold up under pressure. And that's the first thing to go. But joy will. See, happiness is based on circumstance, but joy is based on relationship. It's that relationship with God that we have to remember. So joy is a decision and not just a feeling. Now, joy can encounter pain, sorrow, and fear and not be moved. You know, you just watch that, and you probably have witnessed things in your life that when, you know, for whatever reason, you are in the correct frame of mind and spirit, that when a problem happens, you just hit that problem and you're not affected. Everybody else is freaking out, and you just, I'm good. You know, God's got this, man. You know, I'm with God on this situation. I'm not going with the news. I'm not going with other people. I'm just saying what God says. You know, I'm going to roll with this. And I believe God is going to bring me through. See, outlook determines outcome, and joy is a frame of mind. See, it's what we're looking for is what we're going to find, okay? I'm not saying to sweep things out of the table and not acknowledge there's problems, but I'm looking for the answer. I'm looking for God to move in this situation. I'm looking for God to bring me through to the other side. You know, and through that, I'm going to hold on to Him. I'm not going to hold on to the world. You can't do both. You got to decide to grab a hold of God and go after Him with all that you have. And like I said, it's not joy's not plastering a smile on your face and denying, you know, that problems happen. See, joy looks the problem in the eye and decides, I'm not going to bow my knee. I'm not bowing my knee to that problem. I'm not giving in to that lie. See, joy is not denying the trial exists, but joy is denying that the trial has power to control you. That's what we need to take the power back. There you go. And when we do that, we can start to walk in victory. And then we can help other people, bring them along. Now, my last point I want to see right now for today is the word that we all love. How many love the word endurance? Do I have any joggers out here today? Or any marathon runners? No marathon runners. Endurance. That's a tough word. See, the Bible tells us it's going to take perseverance if we're tired of losing. You know, what I found out in my life is that we never need to surrender to the trial. See, you know, I don't watch the wrestling and all that, but I do know if you tap out, it's over, right? You lose, right? If you tap out. You know, you're out there and they're twisted on your arm or your leg and you can only take so much and they tap, you know, and the devil's got a hold of you and you're just kind of there, just tap out. You know, we don't want to tap out, you know, because we need to develop that endurance. Now, I may be wrong on this because this is not my area of expertise, But I believe that if you go jogging and you only run till you get tired, I don't think you're going to get better. I think you have to run even after you're tired. It's when you run after you're tired is when you start to grow. And I believe it's like that when you and I are going through the trial. Don't tap out. Continually go through that trial. And what's the weird thing, like I just want us to see that don't look for an easy out. Yes, we need to look for God and pray to God, God, get me out of this. But while you're in it, what I don't want us to forget is while we're in the trial, learn how to lean on God and His Word. And when you do that, you're going to start to mature. You're going to be stronger. And it's going to help you grow. And then when the devil, I mean, I'll be honest, I've been pastoring a long time, seems like forever sometimes, but, you know, I've been through a lot with it, you know, just different ebbs and flows and cycles in the church. And if you look at the natural, you just say, boo-hoo, poor me, you know, sometimes, or sometimes say, yeah, you know, praise God, you know, all these different cycles and things you go through. And just think about your life, all the different cycles you've went through. Even in your marriage, you're up, you're down, you're all over the place, and maybe at work or relationships. I mean, those things happen, you know. But it's just through those things, you know, that we start to learn things. And the goal is to develop that endurance when we're under trial. See, testing refines our faith to prepare us for greater battles. I mean, that's kind of scary, you know. But, you know, the trial you're going through now, if you overcome it, well, there's another one coming that might be worse, but hey, that's okay. You'll grow through that too. And you get to the place where, you know, this is an old word of faith saying, but I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm just moved by the Word of God. That's when you unplug from the devil's attacks. And you say, I'm going to take God at His Word. God says this, I choose to believe that no matter what I feel. Amen. No matter what I see, I'm hanging on to God. And I'm going to see that get me through. See, patience is a word that we need to understand. See, when we exercise patience, it's something we need when we're tested. Now, I don't know about you, but I see all of you as a diamond. Maybe you don't see yourself as a diamond. Maybe you still see yourself as a piece of coal. But I really see as a pastor as a diamond. You know, now, you don't get to be a diamond very easy. You know, from what I understand about it is that you can only become a diamond is when you're put under extreme pressure for extended periods of time. And that's what makes a diamond. And I know some of you have been through some battles and you're still standing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You're still standing. And so that diamond in you is starting to come out and it's starting to sparkle and it's making the devil mad. He don't want you to learn anything. He don't want you to grow. He wants you to remain, you know, where you can't do nothing on your own. See, my goal is to put myself out of a job. That should be my goal. To train you up in such a way you don't need me anymore. Amen. Oh my, one of the two, right? Just depends how you look at it. So, if we tap out under pressure, our faith won't be perfected. So we have a tendency to run from the problems, but joy runs to the problem. It wants to get to that place where it can come to maturity. And that only comes by trusting God. I'm kind of winding up here now. But trusting God. Now I want you to understand this. Get this down in your heart. God doesn't test us to show us our worst. God tests us to bring out our best. You need to write that down. You need to really think about that. Because a lot of times we see the ugliness in our life of what happens when we're under pressure. God didn't do that to show that to you. God wants to show the best in you, of Him living through you. And as we do that, I believe as we mature, that when we learn how to handle trials, it'll help us to learn how to handle blessing, because we need that balance of both operating in our life. So, trials come, trials go, but the Word of God stands forever. Amen. And we need to hold on to that. Amen. God has given us a way to overcome, to win battles, and that's what I want us to do. Joy is the power that you and I need to face every trial that we come up against. We need to make sure that we get better and we don't get bitter. Let's pray.